is Shemot, which means names. And the first word in the verse there at the beginning of Exodus 1, it's the beginning of Exodus, is Bahele, which is, and these. And these are the names, Shemot, Bnei Yisrael, of the children or the sons, Ben is son or child, Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. It's chapters 1 through 5, basically, of Exodus. And I have to apologize to our translators, but I'm going to rattle through just an outline of the section very quickly before I get to the real thing. It starts off with the 70 descendants of Jacob who came into Egypt. Speaks of Yosef and his 11 brothers who died in Egypt. The Israelites who increased over 400 plus years and became a threat to Egypt, to the Pharaoh there. A new Pharaoh came to power and instituted slavery over the Hebrews. And this Pharaoh orders the Hebrew sons to be killed twice. Once he calls the midwives and says, listen, when you see that it's a son being born, you kill it. And they didn't. And then the second time he said, all sons are to be thrown in the river and drowned. Moshe was born during this time, and his mother hid him, and he was placed in the river. You probably know that story, and he was found by the princess or the daughter of Pharaoh. Then when he was grown, and there's no time, no verses in between those two there, then he was grown, he killed an Egyptian, he went to see his brothers and the Hebrews, and he killed an Egyptian who was beating on one of the Hebrews. And therefore, when it became known, he fled to Midian. Now, if the left side of the screen is Egypt, and this is the Sinai Peninsula in the middle, Midian is all the way over here on the other side. Having fled to Midian, he was a fugitive. He was a criminal running from the law. And he became a shepherd. And it's interesting, in one of our last Torah portions, we see where Joseph tells his brothers, don't say you're shepherds, because shepherds are an abomination to Egypt, to the Egyptians. And so, in his eyes, having been raised in Egypt, Moses was the lowest that he was a shepherd, a criminal hiding shepherd. Then it gets into a section, a rather long section, about the burning bush. And the conversation there with Yahweh is that Yahweh is aware of Israel's affliction in Egypt, and he's sending Moshe to bring them out. Moshe has some objections. Who am I to do this? Was one. He knows he's a criminal. He's a shepherd. He says, I am with you. Yeah, well, what name do I tell them if they ask? And he says, I am. And then it says, in my translation, it says, further, he said, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob. And then Yahweh gets into a little stretch of prophecy. He explains what he's going to do. He says, I've seen your affliction, and I'm bringing you out. And Moshe has to tell this to the people, that Yahweh says, thus says Yahweh, I've seen your affliction, I'm bringing you out, I'm bringing you to a land of milk and honey that currently belongs to the Canaanites and the six tribes that are all of them. Tell Pharaoh to let the people go to come and worship me for 3 days' journey to the wilderness. He will not listen. He will not let you go. And I will smite Egypt with wonders, and he will let you go. And you will plunder the Egyptians. More objections. Well, what if they don't believe me? Then there are three signs that Yahweh gives Moshe to do, three miracles. But I'm slow of speech. Well, I made you that way, and I will teach you what to say. Send someone else, please. angry now, Yahweh says, I will send Aaron with you to speak. Go. Moshe leaves Midian with his wife and sons. Did you know Moses had two sons? One was named Gershom, and one was named Ephraim, or Eleazar. One of his sons was circumcised on the way by his wife. Very interesting passage to try to figure out. And Aaron meets them, and they go tell the elders, and the people believed. Okay, that's the quick outline. Here's what I want to get into. This is fascinating to me. The three signs, and some of them are broken into two parts, A and B. First, let's read the passage, Exodus 4, 1 through 9. And Moshe answered and said, if they do not believe me, nor listen to my voice, and say, Yahweh has not appeared to you. And Yahweh said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod, or staff in some translations. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground. And it became a serpent, and Moshe fled from it. Verse 4. And Yahweh said to Moshe, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So that they believe that Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov has appeared to you. The second sign, verse 6. And Yahweh said to him again, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, see, behold, his hand was leprous like snow, full of leprosy. 7. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out. And see, it was restored like his other flesh. 8. And it shall be, if they do not believe you, nor listen to the voice of the first sign, they shall believe the voice of the latter sign. Sign 3, verse 9. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. And the water which you take from the river shall become blood on the dry land. Some really interesting parallels here. Moshe is known, I'm stepping out here where I can read this. Moshe is a prophet to the people. We just read a whole prophecy that he shared with them. And Yahshua, is a prophet like Moses. We see that in the end of Deuteronomy, that he's a prophet. Yahweh says, I will send a prophet like Moshe, and you are to listen to him. Yahweh sends his word, the Torah, by Moshe. And Yahweh sends his word in the flesh as Yahshua. Moshe is a type of the Messiah to come, a deliverer. He brings the people out of Egypt, and he sets them free from bitter slavery. Yahshua is the Messiah to come, a deliverer, brings us out of the world, and he sets us free from sin and death. It's interesting that this whole thing, this whole passage starts with Moshe saying, how will they believe? Verse 2 and 3 again, and Yahweh said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. 3, and he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moshe fled from it. Look at this. A rod or a staff represents authority, all the way to scepters that kings hold, shepherds who are in charge, generally speaking, the head of a household or the father of a family always had a more ornate staff that represented that family, and it was handed down to the firstborn sons and so on. It represented authority. Yahshua was the word, the Torah, and was the authority of Yahweh. So the Torah was the government. It was the priesthood guidelines. It was the word of Yahweh. It was the commands. It was everything about how to live, and it was the authority of Yahweh. And Yahshua was that Torah, that word. He's the word made flesh. He came in the name of Yahweh, which is the authority of Yahweh. And check this out. He threw down his authority to the earth, which became evil. Not only was Torah no longer in rule after the Israelites were exiled from the land, but he also personally says in Philippians 2 that although found in the similarity with Elohim, he did not regard his similarity with Elohim to be grasped, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, humbled himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, a slave, and being found in the likeness of men. He threw down his authority to the earth. Also, in the way that he threw down his authority as Torah in the beginning, because he is Torah, and by the fact that he gave up ruling over Israel for a period of time during the exile, they refound the Torah, they came back to Israel, and unfortunately, the authorities that ran Israel at the time became evil. He even called them, "You brood of vipers, you serpents." So it's interesting that, in a way, that Moses threw down his rod and it became a serpent. Yahshua threw down his authority and it became evil. In fact, the whole world is run by evil forces more than it is Torah. Harrison. And he fled from the evil. Yahshua not only had to flee from, as a child, to Egypt for a while, but he had to flee from the rabbis who were trying to, the Pharisees who were trying to kill him, and he had to escape from them several times. Verse 4 again, and Yahweh said to Moshe, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And later, before Pharaoh, Moshe's rod eats the other serpents. As a serpent, it eats the other serpents. Well, look at this. Yahshua reaches out, because he's the right hand of Yahweh, the Word, and he takes the world's evil authorities by the tail again, and is given all authority in heaven and earth, he said. All authority has been given to me. And later, he becomes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the authority above all authorities, like a serpent that eats all the other serpents, the rod that eats all the other rods. Second sign, and Yahweh said to him again, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, see, his hand was leprous, like snow. The hand is put into the body. The bosom is considered the very closest part of the body in its clothing. The hand, the right hand of Yahweh, was put into the body, the congregation, and it was taken out. Leprosy is a disease, and it represents sin in Torah. It also leads to death. Everybody knows that. I'm sure that when Moshe pulled his hand out full of leprosy, he thought, I'm sure he was frightened, quite frightened, because he knew it was death. Yahshua took on sin on our behalf, and Yahshua took on death on our behalf. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and see, it was restored like his other flesh. The hand was again put into the body and drawn out again in his resurrection. He was resurrected from death, and he appeared to the people again. And he was taken up, drawn out again. And he was restored. He overcame sin and death forever. The first two signs in verse 8, it says, "And it shall be, if they do not believe you, nor listen to the voice of the first sign, they shall believe the voice of the latter sign." If seeing his authority was not enough to believe, seeing his death and resurrection will be, surely. But Israel has been, intentionally by Yahweh, partially blinded, has not seen, has not believed. Now, I don't think partially means I can only see a little bit. I think partially means some of Israel will see, because we know that they did, and some won't. Partially blind. 3, and it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, and shall pour it on dry land, and the water which you take from the river shall become blood on the dry land. Water in Scripture, and in prophecy particularly, usually represents the nations. When you see the seas in Revelation, it's the nations, it's the Gentiles. And the dry land generally represents Israel or believers. The dry land represents believers. Gentiles from all nations will come to Israel through Yahshua. In the same way that the water be taken from the river and poured on the dry land, we're going to see, and this is a prophecy way back then, this is Moshe's time, we're going to see Gentiles coming to Israel. In fact, they saw the mixed multitude come out of Egypt with them and will become blood. Blood often represents life. The life is in the blood. Covenant. Covenants were made by blood. The cutting and a covenant to come to Yahweh, the circumcision. And family. We're blood. We're of the same blood. And they, the Gentiles coming out, will make Israel jealous, as intended. Of these three signs, the first two signs were demonstrated for Moshe before using them. The third sign was not. It was seen later. In the same way, Yahshua showed us the first two signs with his first coming, his authority, his power, his miracles, his healings, his speaking, and his resurrection. And the third sign is the fullness of the Gentiles, which has not yet come in. It'll be seen later. It hasn't happened yet. We are that third sign. What's going on right now? We are either Israel, who believed after the first two signs, the partial part that did believe and come to Messiah, or we're Gentiles from the nations who have come in, blood poured on the, or water poured on the dry ground. As disciples of Yahshua in his body, we are his blood, having taken the covenant, if we have. Therefore, we're family. You know, a lot of folks say, you know, there's really no difference between Messianic Judaism and Christianity. It's kind of just different shades of gray. I beg to differ. To be a Messianic Jewish person, you get the whole Passover thing. You take the covenant. You commit to try to keep the Torah and his commands. That's a huge difference. Huge difference. And we are, therefore, his family. He says we're light on a hill. We illuminate, we clarify, we make things clear and seen, especially truth. We are Torah. Fantastic teaching over the past few weeks about as living stones, we represent the Torah written on us. Excellent. We're the salt of the earth. We make people thirsty for truth and peace. You know, so many denominations have all of these evangelism programs. You've got to bother people. You've got to get in their face. You've got to say all these things to make them. You know what? We're not about that. We're about just keeping his commands, and man, we glow. Just because we pass on the bacon-wrapped shrimp, we stand out. Just because we won't go to something on a Saturday or whatever, we glow. We're fishers of men. Fishers bring them in from the nations. You know, as folks even come and visit us here at Ariel, we need to just welcome them and no hassle. Just welcome. Bring them in. And hunters are sent into the wilderness, into the world. We are out there in the world seeking them out. Those who we think Yahweh is on the shoulder, and they're asking questions, and they want to know more, they're the ones we're seeking. And we're branches of the vine, bearing fruit, disciples, extending. The people believed. Chapter 4, verse 30, says, then he did the signs before the eyes of the people, 31, and the people believed. And they heard that Yahweh had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, and they bowed their heads and did obeisance. I looked it up. It's pronounced obeisance. A gesture showing respect, such as a bow. Baruch Hashem.